put this microphone up. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, and I don't see this as a hot button topic issue, but maybe you do. And if it does, I might step on some feet this morning. I might not step on some feet. You might say amen. I don't know how you're going to look at it this morning, but Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 22 through 33. And as we look at this, we have to remember we need to look at this from the standpoint of what Paul starts with, even all the way back into Ephesians chapter 4, and then going into chapter 5, and how we are to be walking as believers in Christ. And so we think about submission, we think about love. And I'm going to put it like this. Sometimes family can be hard. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up that there were times I had uncles who did not speak to each other. There were times we had family reunions that they did not leave on happy notes. And it was because of their various differences. I don't know, maybe you have that kind of family member that's just kind of difficult to get along with. And but we all have those family members at some point in time in our life. Maybe not all the time, but at some point in time, maybe it's choices that's been made. But there's difficulty. And that difficulty can come from a variety of reasons, whether it's religious, political, personalities, just whatever it is. But any relation, submission and love can just be very hard, because we must always balance that with truth. Must always balance that with truth. Submission does not involve sin. And so last week we left off with this understanding that the wise understand or know true submission. And so in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so you kind of have to remember that. As you're going in and thinking about the next, or the rest of this chapter, and then the first part of chapter 6, you have to keep that in mind. Okay, that's kind of the overarching understanding in all of this. And so last week, Paul presented this ideal of walking as wise. Wisdom is a hallmark of Scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs. We call that wisdom literature. And so wisdom has its foundation in truth. It has its foundation in truth. Why? Because God is truth. Matter of fact, more specifically, Jesus said that he was what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. He's the truth. And so we also understand from Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 that it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Paul here in Ephesians mentions that the wise, they make their best use of their time. They recognize evil. And what's really interesting is because they recognize the evil, that's the reason why they make the best use of their time. He goes on and he says that not only are they making the best use of their time and they recognize evil, he also says that they understand the will of the Lord and that they're guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Being guided by the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the will of God. Being guided by the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the will of God. Not being controlled by something else. And here he talks about getting, you know, drunk. Those kinds of things. There's plenty of things in life that controls us. Whether it's our riches, you know, whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be alcohol. If it controls you more than God does, more than the Holy Spirit in your life, that's not balanced. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And so you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps you to understand the will of God. And then he goes on and he talks about being that the wise are thankful and that the wise act in true submission. Being thankful is related to submission. Those two things are related. Okay. Let me give you an example of how that can be related. Perhaps someone buys your lunch for you. Being thankful for that, not just saying thanks because you're being polite, but being truly thankful for that, is a form of submission. You may not realize that. You may not think about it that way, but that is a form of submission. Submitting to someone else who is choosing to control the payment of your lunch so that you don't have to do it. Isn't that nice? And you're submitting to that. You're saying, yeah, go ahead. That's fine. Go for it. Thank you. Now, a lot of times we're like more than willing to submit to that, right? Oh, yeah, no, you can buy my lunch anytime. Go for it, right? I don't have to buy it then. Thank you, right? But submission and thankfulness. Thank you for doing that. That was awfully kind of you. So you see how those two go together. So submitting, Paul's basis for submitting to one another goes further back to this understanding of the fear of the Lord. And that's what he mentions there in verse 21. Notice he says, submitting to one another out of what? Reverence for Christ. That word reverence is actually where we also get the word fear. But it's the awe kind of fear. It's an awe. It's a respectful fear. And so that's the reason why they use the word reverence there. I mean, think about what Christ has done for you. Think about who he is. Christ, who is the Word who became flesh, he is the truth that was walking among us at one time, has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And how do we submit to that? Have you ever thought about this before? How do you submit to that? You accept him by faith as your Lord and Savior. Now, have you ever thought about that before? You've submitted to that. And by submitting to that, you show your thankfulness to what God has done for you, something that you could not do for yourself. And so we can see this in our relation to God. We can see this in our relationship to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. But practically, in everyday life, how do we do that with each other? Because that's what Paul says. He says, submit to one another. Okay? It's like, yeah, well, sometimes it's easy to submit to God and those things. Yeah, of course, we can do that. But how do we submit to one another? And then he gives us three examples. Three scenarios, you might say. And all three of these scenarios, what is very neat about them is that they all involve family. Okay? So these three scenarios, the first one is the husband and wife relationship. Then he talks about the parent-child relationship. And then he talks about the master and the bondservant. Okay. Master-bondservant relationship. This morning that we're going to be focusing on the husband and wife relationship. Next week we're going to look at the other two relationships. But this morning, the husband and wife relationship. And what's really interesting is that Paul, he relates this to the Christ-church relationship. He relates it to the Christ-church relationship. All of these scenarios, they have to do with the family. And now, if you're like me, you're thinking, well, how does a bondservant and master relate to the family? If you're like me, you've probably heard it often mentioned, and there is some, applicability to this. This is not out of the realm of applying it this way. But you've probably heard this as the employee and the employer relationship. But you have to go back to their culture and their time, because back in their days, if you were a bondservant, if you were somebody who was like a slave in their household, you were considered part of the family. Matter of fact, they took care of those people as if they were part of the family. Now you think, well, how does that work? Well, let's look here. In Luke chapter 7, there was a Roman military leader who came to Jesus. And he was asking for who to be healed. Not a biological family member. He was asking for his servant to be healed. Matter of fact, he was so confident that Jesus could heal his son that just at the words, he didn't even have to come and visit his son or visit the servant. He just had to say the word, just thank it or whatever. That's how much confident that Roman centurion had in who Jesus Christ was. But notice that it was care and concern for who? His servant. Because his servant was very valuable to him as part of his household. He was treated as family. So in all three of these situations, there's this aspect of family. So when we submit to one another, there's this aspect of what? Family being involved here. This aspect of family. And so the title for the message is Family, or Matters of the Family. I thought about naming it Family Matters, but I figured I'd been stealing a TV show's title. But Matters of the Family, Ephesians chapter 5. And as we look through this, and I did not change that. One thing that I overlooked, that should be 22 through 33 on there. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 33. And so this is part one of this, because we'll look next week at the other two scenarios. But when we look through this, the very first thing that we always have to keep in mind is that Paul states in 5:21 that this is submission to one another. And who is he discussing here is this one another? Believers. Those who are believers in Christ. Okay, so that's, we got to remember who he's talking about here. And so these principles can be applied to things outside the scope of believers. Okay, that's always can be done, but we always must remember that the context is that of believers submitting to one another. And so as you analyze submission throughout Scripture, there's going to be some things that you notice, and it seems as if it has to do with authority and role. Matter of fact, you can kind of gather that just by looking around in the world. It has to do with authority and role. Okay? And so you see those two key elements as you look throughout Scripture about submission. And so let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. So follow along with me. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." How many times have people just stopped right there? So many times. Keep reading. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands." And now he addresses the husbands. So he says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to look at it this morning. Help as we look through this, give me the clarity of thought and mind as we think about this. And Lord, we just give you the praise and we give you the glory. It's in Christ's name. Amen. So as we look through this, I'm going to basically have 2 points. The first one is wives. The next one's going to be husbands. Pretty simple, right? Wives and then husbands. All right, so wives. First thing, exclusivity. Say that word a few times fast. Exclusivity. Very first thing he says here is, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Now, this seems kind of obvious, okay? You look at it and you're thinking, okay, we understand what that means, right? Submit to your own husbands. In other words, sorry, my wife doesn't submit to Brett, for example. Pretty, right? I mean, that makes sense, right? I mean, Wendy doesn't submit to me. I mean, that's just not the way it's supposed to be. Okay, that seems pretty obvious, right? So in other words, your wife is not under my authority in that matter. Does that make sense? So there's exclusivity right there. But think about that for a little bit. You're supposed to submit to your own husbands. How have we twisted that in our world? Because of sin. And how we have maybe, you know, women have maybe more than one husband. Maybe they're sleeping around. Whatever it might be. Think about how that has twisted. How that one line right there is not being honored and respected in our culture and our society today. And it's not anything new. It's been going around for ages. But go on down there. He also indicates that it is as to the Lord. Not only is this just a submission, this is as to the Lord. How do you submit to the Lord? The ideal is it should be a willing submission. You're willing to submit. In other words, it is voluntary and not forced. It's voluntary and not forced. As we think about this ideal of submission, there are two basic kinds of submission, obviously, right? There's voluntary submission and involuntary submission. Okay? Of the voluntary submission, there are several kinds. You have voluntary submission that is only temporary. Okay? So an example of temporary submission would be like your child goes to school and they have a teacher. Okay? And while they're at school, they're under the teacher's authority, and they should have what? Submission. And it should be voluntary submission. So it's temporary. Then you have lifelong submission. That's the husband and wife relationship. It's intended to be lifelong submission. Okay? And then you have eternal submission. And that's our relationship with the Lord. So there's this eternal submission that is also involved there, and that should also be voluntary. And so this type of submission is voluntary and lifelong. So when he's talking about the husband and wives, he's like, this is voluntary submission, and it's lifelong. When is it easy to voluntarily have lifelong submission to your husband? Wives, think about that. We'll come back to that. We'll cycle back to that question here in a little bit. But when is it easy for you to do that? And when is it difficult for you to do that? When is it easy and when is it difficult? So let's look at the biblical analogy now. Christ is the head of the church. He goes on to say that for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That phrase is himself its savior is thrown in there. And what's really neat is that indicates, all of this indicates responsibility or authority over. So what does that mean? Husbands, you have responsibility and authority over your wives. Think of this. As a believer, you are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, Paul tells us that we are bought with a price. And Christ has authority over you simply because he paid the price for our sin. You start seeing the relationship now. And out of that, I should voluntarily submit myself to him. Christ is the head of what? The church, the body of believers. And so the point that's being made is that the husband has authority and responsibility over his wife, just as Christ has that authority and responsibility over the church. And so what Paul states about the husband and wife will absolutely make no sense out of the context of believers in Christ. The world doesn't understand it the right way. Have you ever noticed that? They take it and they twist it. So the world does not get this. It doesn't understand it the right way. They get it wrong. The world is sinful. The world's unsaved. And it loves to pick out scripture like this. And then it ends up getting twisted. And it gets twisted because of sin. It gets twisted because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And so there is tension between husband and wife because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And remember in Sunday school, we've been kind of going through all of that, right? And so there is this tension between husbands and wives because of this. And so apart from Christ, the world fights what Paul discusses and twists it. Now, my goal in all of this is not to deal with every situation. This is not an exhaustive thing. This is just general understanding and principles as seen, as we see here in Scripture. So keep that in mind. And so the biblical analogy is that Christ is the head of the church. You have this understanding that he is their Savior. And so we as husbands, we have authority and responsibility over our wives. Then he says that the church submits to Christ. The church submits. Why? Because Christ gave the church a reason to submit. Sacrificial love. Husbands, here in a little bit, we're going to talk about that as our part, as our understanding. So, husbands, get ready. Your part is coming here in just a little bit, too. And so, Christ submits to the church. So, the church submits. Why? Because Christ gave the church a reason to submit. And that was that sacrificial love that he showed. And then notice here, as we look at the end of verse 24, we notice the scope and the role of all of this. He says, submit in everything to their husbands, in everything. In everything. I mainly put a little asterisk beside that word everything. Does this expect you to commit sin? No. This is not expecting you to commit sin. If your husband wants you to do something and it's sinful, no. That falls outside of this. Why? Because remember, what is this? This is supposed to be submission between what? Believers. And the understanding is what? As a believer in Christ, I'm not going to ask you to do something that is sinful. So as a husband, I'm not going to turn to my wife and say, honey, do you mind doing this? And it's something that is sinful. So that word everything is everything that is what? Good, right, holy, just, those kinds of things. So it doesn't mean that you have permission to sin because your husband told you that you could do something. So in everything has the context of a healthy Christian life. And so we see here Paul is discussing people who have healthy Christian relationships with the Lord and with each other. So in everything, we see that scope. And then submission is a characteristic of respect. He goes on down to verse 33. He says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. Submission is a characteristic of respect. That word respect in verse 33 is a word that also can be translated as fear, reverence, that kind of thing. It's an awe-type fear. It's not a scared fear. It's not one of those things where I'm hunkering down because I'm afraid that my husband is going to beat me again. That's not the right kind of fear. It's an awe type of fear. So husbands, that's a challenge to us. What are you doing in the life of your wife that you know encourages an awe type fear, a respect? And so wives, is it not easier to submit to your husbands when they are worthy of awe and respect? After all, didn't Paul talk about this earlier in Ephesians, how you are to walk worthy, how we are to be what? Imitators of God? So wives, you are to walk worthy in your submission as your husband is also walking worthy. Like I said before, I'm not dealing with all the different scenarios. That's almost virtually impossible for me to deal with every scenario. Wives, future wives, being a believer gives you access to the Father through the Spirit. My advice to you is to pray and seek the Lord first in all matters of your relationship. Run to God's Word. Seek Him. There'll be times it's going to be hard to submit. There's going to be times it's going to be hard to submit. Why? Because your husband is not perfect. There's going to be times it's going to be hard to submit. Husbands, now it's your turn. Are you ready? So husbands, Same thing, exclusivity. Husbands, what are you supposed to do? Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So for starters, love your wife. In other words, as a husband, I don't love multiple women. I'm supposed to love my wife. I have singled that out in my life. You are my wife, and I will love you. Love you. Your love for your wife is for her and her alone. I mean, the reason for it is actually kind of logical. He gives you the reason here. As a man, how many bodies do I have? Oh, one over there. Do you see that one sitting over there? I only have one body, right? I don't have multiple of my bodies up here. And the illustration that he gives is as Christ loved the church, the one body of believers. He doesn't have multiple little different bodies of believers. Yeah, we have the local church. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the body of believers, the body of Christ. Christ doesn't have multiple bodies. And so he uses this analogy. He's like, guys, come on, love your wife. One wife. Love her. Invest in her. Encourage her. Do those things just as Christ did that with the church. When Christ loves the church, he's not loving all these multiple bodies that he has. The single church. Christ is head over the whole body of believers. And so in verse 31, Paul is emphasizing, and you know, he reminds us of this. He says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall what? Become one flesh. Just as the church and Christ are to be one, we are to function as a unit, as one, so is the husband and wife. One unit. Love your wife. Not multiple women. Not multiple wives. You know, Jesus, he took it up a step further. He says, even if you look upon a woman in lust, you have done what? Committed adultery. Jesus raised the bar quite high. Husbands, love your wife. Not just in deeds and actions, but also in thought life. Love her. Be dedicated to her. You know, in our culture, in our society, this ideal of polygamy is really flying back and getting, you know, put out there again. This flies in the face of that. It flies in the face of that kind of stuff. Then he goes on and he says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And really, verses 25 through 27 is really helping the husband to understand that he has a responsibility and authority over his wife. This is not just some domineering kind of thing. He's like, no, you've got a responsibility. You better take care of that responsibility. You have an expectation. Take care of it. Just as Christ has authority over the church and has responsibilities to the church. And what is Christ's responsibility to the church? He says that he might sanctify her, cleanse her, and present her. Christ has responsibilities. Husbands, you have responsibilities to your wife as well. So as you kind of read through this and you're starting to see the picture here, this is not just a one-sided submission. That actually, husbands, when you love your wife, you are submitting. So let's think about this biblical analogy. Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her. Sometimes, husband, we may have to become the servant in order to love our wife. Why? Christ did that. Read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Christ humbled himself and became what? A servant. So much so that he was willing to even sacrifice his own life for who? The body, the church. Husbands, when was the last time you served your wife, caring for her needs above your own? You know, I'm not perfect. You can ask Michelle. I'm not perfect. I have not been the perfect husband. I might have been a good husband. I'm not a perfect husband. Okay? There's been times that we've struggled. And this is a challenge even to me. It's something that convicts even me as I read through this and think about this. How have I loved my wife? How have I shown her that I have responsibility over her and I'm caring for her and who she is? That I understand those responsibilities. What do you do to show her and the world around you that she is your love? And she alone. And it's what's really neat is then he ties this back to creation. He's like, this is how this was originally designed to be. And so in verse 31, he goes all the way back to the book of Genesis and he says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It's like, this is the way God designed it to be. That the two are working in such unison and such function that they have become one flesh. And he's like, this is the way the church should be too. That Christ and the church, they're functioning in such a way that we are one. Does your marriage operate as one? A unison? A unified couple? And so because of sin, even if you go back to the book of Genesis, you understand that because of sin, there is now a struggle with this unison, being unified. There's a struggle in becoming one flesh because of sin, and we have to fight it. And husbands, guess what? We have the responsibility to do that. We've got work to do. Because we're going to have to be intentional about it. It's going to be struggles. It's going to be hardships. It's going to be hard times for us to do that, but we're going to have to be intentional about doing it. Now, wives, I asked earlier, when is it easier to voluntarily have a lifelong submission to your husband? When he is loving you like Christ loved the church. Meaning that he is living, he is striving toward a healthy, Christ-like relationship with you. Because wives, it is hard to respect or submit to your husband when he is not living that way. Just be honest, right? It's hard because of sin. It's a struggle. Michelle and I, sure, we've had our hard seasons in our relationships. Sometimes it's been because of me. My selfish, sinful desires or whatever it may be, it's been a struggle. I'm thankful for her love for me. I'm thankful for how she has submitted to me in my life. And I know there's been times it's been very difficult for her to do that. She has sacrificed a lot on her end, but she has shown me love in a way that I could never have even imagined or thought. And she didn't have to do it. So men, what are we doing that's intentional? So we come to this aspect of scope and role. Love your wife as your own body, as you would your own self. Wow. You know, I got up this morning, I was standing in front of the mirror and I was thinking, how could anybody love this body? The things that are underneath these clothes, I'm just like, no, okay? I have scars, I have issues, I have trouble. How anybody love this? But guess what? What did I do this morning? I still got up, and I did what? I got ready, I cared for myself, made sure I ate something. I did things right. Why? Because I still love my body, right? Love her as you'd love your own self. That means even when it's hard to do that sometimes, maybe because of sin in her life, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. It may have to be sacrificial. As you would your own body. Love like this has responsibilities. Love her like it has responsibilities to it. Man up, in other words. Man, if you want your wife to respect you, start working on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get that straight first. Get that straight first. Because submitting to one another is modeled by Jesus Christ. And the world out there doesn't know that and doesn't understand that right. And yeah, they'll try to fix marriages. They'll try to do things. People will get married. But when it's apart from Christ, the struggle, the tensions, and they're like, I don't know why it's this way. And all that. I do know why. It's going to be a struggle for marriages. Why? Because of sin. It's a result of the fall. It's been that way since after the fall of Adam and Eve. But through Christ, we have hope. And as men, we have to be intentional. Why? Because we're having to fight something. We're having to fight something, and it's going to have to be intentional. Wives, it's going to be hard sometimes because your husbands are not perfect. There's going to be times they're going to fail. So how does this apply to this understanding of to make Christ, or to know Christ and to make Christ known? I've mentioned this. Without Christ, this makes no sense. So what have you done with the person and work of Jesus Christ? Who have you put your faith and trust in? That's the basic foundation, the ground level of all of this. And then what are you doing to build on that relationship with Him? It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then this aspect of making Him known. Your marriage relationship exhibits Christ. Your marriage relationship exhibits Christ. How is your relationship as a husband and wife becoming one flesh? How is that exemplifying Christ? Because our marriage relationship shows Christ to the world around us. Our marriage relationship makes Him known. Paul mentioned earlier about walking as children of light. Our marriage relationship can be that avenue of light that people see. That people see. It's a struggle. It's hard, yes. But people will say, hey, listen, what do you have going on? I mean, why do you do this? Why do you submit to your husband? Husband, why do you love your wife like that? And as they see this going on, it's an opportunity for you to say, hey, listen, it's because of Christ. It's because of what Christ has done for me. Christ loves me. He loves me so much. He paid the price for me. He humbled Himself. He became a servant. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose again. It's an opportunity for you to talk about Jesus and what He's done. The world doesn't understand it the right way. We have an opportunity to help them to understand the right way, to see the pieces. And Paul points this out and he says, hey, listen, submitting to one another out of what? Reverence for Christ. Goes all the way back to the book of Proverbs. The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. I hope this has been an encouragement and a challenge to you this morning. Because it's a struggle. It's a struggle. It's hard. And it's hard because of sin. And I know I've not addressed all these different scenarios and specifics because we could be here all day trying to unfold those things. And that's the reason why I said the number one thing that you've got to go to is, hey, listen, it's about your relationship with the Lord. And so what are you doing with it? Are you going to Him and saying, hey, Lord, I want to seek your face. And so, Lord, you know, Holy Spirit, work in my life. Lord, help me, guide me, direct me. Help me to understand how I can relate to my wife, how I can relate to my husband. Go to Him first. Go to the Word of God. And then you can come to me and we can talk and we can ask and we can work through scenarios and we can say, hey, listen, what does Scripture say here? How does this work here? And then we can talk about things. But remember, your relationship and how you relate to your husband, how you relate to your wife, exemplifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. And Lord, when we think about topics like this can be hard. to process, especially if maybe right now, as a husband or a wife, we are not living in accordance to your word. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to change that in our lives. And Lord, maybe it could be just something as simple as we have no relationship through Jesus Christ, because we've not done the very first act of submission, which is to say, Lord, thank you for saving me, for dying on the cross for my sins, and I submit to that, and I put my faith and trust in Christ alone. Maybe it's because of that. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that is the very first thing that needs to be done in their life, that they understand that and they submit to that this morning. And then, Lord, help us as a husband, help us as wives to learn from your word. And Lord, I know it's going to be hard to submit. I know, Lord, sometimes it's going to be hard to love my wife. But Lord, we still need to do those things. And Lord, it's going to be a struggle because of sin. Help us, Lord, to push through these things. Help us as husbands to be intentional about our love for our wives so that it makes it easier for them to be in submission to us. We thank you, Father, for what you've done in us. We thank you for what you have provided for us in Jesus Christ. And may all these things be to your glory and to your honor. Amen.